Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. It's the Recruiting Animal back with you again today. And I'm going to tell you my guest right off the bat because people have been telling me they want to know immediately if it's worthwhile listening, and it is worthwhile. My guest today is Danny Sweet. He's a headhunter from Texas who wrote a book about resumes. Now, Danny called me a few days ago and said, "Hey, Animal, I don't get it. Sometimes you start off the show talking about things that have absolutely no relation at all to what the guest is interested in. What's up with that?" I said, "Danny, that's a very astute observation. At the start of the show, I do take a few minutes to blow off some steam about whatever's been bugging me the week before. Then we spend 50 minutes on you. 50 minutes, Dan. Isn't that enough? Do you have to be so greedy that you can't spare me, the host, just a few minutes of your time?" "No, no, Animal," he says. "You got me wrong. I wasn't trying to be a ham. No, sir. You do what you have to. I'm a patient man." So we're going to see. We're going to test his patience and see if it's true. And Dan, thanks for those minutes. I'm going to tell everybody about my new nemesis. Her name is the Gen Y Princess. She's got a blog, and last week, just before this show, in a posting that could have been titled, "Why Do They Hate Us?", she identified the Recruiting Animal personally as being the head of a worldwide anti-Gen Y conspiracy. Then she asked this question. "Why," she said, "are other generations so intent upon crushing the dreams of idealistic youth? What sense is there," she said, "in bringing us to the dark side? Don't break my knees," she said, "just as I'm training for the marathon." Very dramatic, isn't it? And one of her fans, Eric von Schneider, came up with an answer. "Why do the old guys try to crush idealistic youth?" he asked. "Because they're jealous," says Eric. "They're afraid that we might make them look bad when we accomplish more than they have." Well, here's my answer to Eric. "Eric, why are you such a big putz? We're not against Gen Y. We don't hate people who want to accomplish things. We're just bowled over by guys who show up out of the blue and start telling us that we're a generation of vipers and they're a generation of saints. Is it hard to understand, Eric? Ordinary people don't like braggarts. So when someone whose main claim to fame is that he likes to use Twitter and text messages friends starts telling you how great he is and never stops, sooner or later, you're going to tell him he's a jerk. Right, Eric? Now, I got to stop because I got a guest who doesn't want me to spend too much time on myself. So let me simply say that live from Toronto, I'm the Recruiting Animal. Yes, I am. And this is the Recruiting Animal Show.
The werewolf is neither man nor wolf, but a satanic creature with the worst qualities of both. And do you expect me to believe that a man so afflicted actually becomes a wolf under the influence of the full moon? I'm afraid, sir, that I gave up my belief in goblins, witches, personal devils, and werewolves at the age of 6.
Okay, now we'll bring on our impatient guest. Danny, are you there?
Danny? Who's
Dan? Danny, isn't that your name?
My name is Dan. Thank you very much.
Pardon me, you use Dan?
I use Dan, that's right.
Dan, what kind of phone are you on? It's very hard to hear you.
I'm on the most advanced portable phone in America.
Portable phone. Do you have a solid landline phone that is not portable? Because you're breaking up. Johnny.
I'll fix that. Damn it, I'll fix it.
Okay. Tell me when you're ready. Please, everyone. Those people who are listening. Hold on. My caller. You know, I got to really coach these guys. They call in on lines you can't hear them on.
All right, I'm ready. Shut up.
It's better now. Okay. The stars are bright.
Deep
at
night. Deep in the heart of Texas.
Deep in the heart of Texas. You're in Texas, right? Should we sing that song together? Do you know the lyrics? Pardon me?
I know those.
You know them?
I know those.
The stars. Come on. I'll sing the beginning.
The stars at night are big and bright.
Deep in the heart of Texas. But
That's right.
Here's a song I don't know. Do you know the song Texas Rockabilly Rebel by Reverend Horton Heat?
I can't say I do.
You don't?
No.
Okay. Town of El Paso. Out in the West Texas, town of El Paso. You know that one?
Vaguely. You know,
I fell in love with a Mex. Don't talk while I'm talking, Dan. What about Streets of Laredo?
No.
You don't know it? As
don't
I
know
walked
it.
Out on the streets of Laredo. You don't know it. Okay, what kind of Texas
it doesn't sound
you?
Like that if I do know it.
Okay. Are you born in Texas or did you just go there?
No, I've just been here for, the last 20 years.
You should know all those songs. You know, you want to fit in. Okay, Dan, let's get down to business. You're a headhunter, right? Or is there anything else you want to say before I take you right to the point?
Just, your comments on the Gen Y princess.
Yes.
I over at Employee Revolution, I think is what it is.
Evolution.
Similar blog.
They are having it. They think they have a revolution, but they called it evolution.
they were saying the same thing. Why do they do it? It's because of jealousy. You know, that always reminds me of when women say, well, why did he break up with you? And what's the standard answer? I was just too strong for him.
Too strong for him? I don't understand that. What does that mean? Like she had an opinion?
Well, no, that's the catch-all excuse for why somebody broke up with you if you're
it's
a girl.
It's like the face-saving excuse. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
These guys can't handle the thought, these little punks, that they might be wrong, right? So we're
exactly, automatically
wrong. And they just, it's like a psychiatrist. If you criticize a psychiatrist, he's going to say, oh, you got an unconscious problem, right? It's never him.
That's right.
These guys. Okay. Now, Dan, let's go to business. We'll psychologize about these Gen Y guys later, but I'm glad to see you're sympathetic to my side of the story. I don't know if you're trying to flatter me or what, but it's good to know. So, Dan, you're a headhunter, right?
Correct.
Now, you call yourself the Houston headhunter. Am I right?
That is true.
Is there a song about Houston?
There is, but it's very old and I don't remember it.
I don't know.
Bad 70s song.
Okay, I don't know it. Anyway, so you're a headhunter and you focus on what kind of people, or do you have a focus?
I focus on technology. Well, I focus on the technology industry.
Technology industry. But what kind of titles are you recruiting for?
I recruit for everything from salespeople to systems admins to database administrators, JDA.
What's
JD
a JDA?
Edwards,
sorry? So you're
JD Edwards.
JD Edwards, yeah. So what kind
JD
of...
JD Edwards consultants.
Consultants, okay.
Yep.
So it's
so
a wide range.
They're all technical.
They're all technical guys. Well, the sales reps are technical as well?
Actually, the ones that I recruit, when people come to me for sales guys, yes. They're looking for people who have a clue technically.
Okay. Now, you wrote a book. It's not about headhunting. It's about resume writing.
That's right.
Okay, so I'd like to ask you a question first. What do recruiters who are really looking for people, what can we offer job hunters who are looking for jobs? I think we're really doing related but different things.
Well, what we can offer is, the other side of the table. You know, here's our impression when you give us a crappy resume, for instance.
Yeah.
And here's how you come across when you write, I want to do anything. Yeah, any job is good. That kind of stuff. We can let them know the way they're coming across because, generally speaking, they have no idea.
Okay. So you wrote a book about what? Tell us the title of the book. I'm trying to get you to take the lead here. Tell us about your book.
the book is The Job Seeker's Guide to Resume Search Optimization and the Internet Resume.
You know, that was a mouthful. The Job Hunter's Guide to Resume Search Engine Optimization. Is
resume search optimization.
Resume search optimization, but really it's search engine optimization, isn't it?
It is. It is,
okay.
Yes, absolutely.
And now there's two different kinds of search engines that you're directing this to, like the Google, Yahoo, MSN, whatever theirs is called. And
Live.
MSN Live, is that the name of their search engine? Okay.
It is now.
Okay, and there's also the search engines within the large job board databases. Are they any different?
Well, actually, they're less sophisticated than, like, today's Google.
In what way?
It used to be that when you listed a web page on a website, on a search engine, it would just track the number of times you mentioned some keyword or another, and the more times you mentioned it, the better your results were. Well, it wasn't long before people figured that out and started abusing that.
Uh-huh.
So they have become a lot more sophisticated.
Uh-huh.
But the monsters and career builders of the world haven't gotten to that point because most people don't do any optimization for keywords for their resumes, and they ought to.
So in the meantime, what you're saying is the like monsters, career builder, these big job boards, they don't have to have a sophisticated search engine because nobody's trying to outsmart the search engine. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay.
And that leaves a great opportunity for people to actually outsmart the search engine.
Yeah, I see. Okay, and this is what your book is about, how to trick the search engine to make you first, give you a high ranking. Is that it?
Well, that's effectively it. Now, it should only be used for good. It could be bad in the hands of evil, but
you're a
yeah,
good witch. You're a good witch. Danny's a good witch.
That's right.
Okay.
So that's basically what I'm trying to show people is, first of all, how to optimize your resume so it does come up well in those in Monster and Career Builder and Hot Jobs, those are the big three, and any other, frankly. Here's the other thing most people don't know. Almost every recruiting agency of any size has a candidate database,
yeah,
which works exactly like those the other job boards as far as search goes. When we're looking for a system engineer that also knows Microsoft Active Directory and also has a background with Oracle because they're a screwed-up shop, we put in our keywords and see what comes up.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. So every time you submit your resume to a recruiter,
yeah,
he puts you in that in their database, which is also another search engine.
Okay.
So if you're optimizing your resume, you're going to come up all sorts of places.
Uh-huh. Okay, so it's very important because everything's electronic now, and the way they find you is by doing a search, whether it be in an in-house database, a huge online database, or one of the gargantuan databases. So there's sort of like three levels. Am I right?
Exactly.
Okay. Now, what should we talk about next? What you advise, or the examples of the people you've tried it on?
Well, let me tell the basics of it.
The way, Amy Beth, the research goddess, just sent me a message before the show. She said she enjoys your blog. I'll just pay you that little compliment first.
Well, I appreciate that.
Amy
she Beth actually
Hale.
Admitted that in public. Yeah, I know what you mean. She admitted that in public on her own blog and then on my blog, and it surprised me because
I didn't know. Oh, come on. Let's get to the good stuff.
Okay, here's the deal. With resume search optimization, what you want to do is you want to have the keywords that recruiters and HR people are searching for in your resume.
Yep.
You want to have them in your resume a number of times,
uh-huh,
and the frequency should directly correlate to how much of that skill you really want to use, and it should also correlate to how much you've used that skill in your current and past jobs.
Yeah. So is that the key?
That really is the key, frankly.
So having the right keywords. Now, if you're going to work with keywords, then you have to figure out what the right keywords are, right?
Exactly. That's the tough part.
How do you do it?
Well, you buy my book is how you do it.
Oh, okay. You told me you were going to tell us a few secrets here.
Well, I will. Work with me here. Hang on. For instance, I'm a contract recruiter in Houston, Texas.
Yes.
Now, if you look for contract recruiting positions on, like, Monster, for example.
Contract recruiting positions. Okay.
In Houston, Texas, there really aren't many.
Mm-hmm.
It's very few.
Right.
Almost none of them are posted.
Okay.
So if I want to be found on Monster, and which I did as a test,
yep,
I would want to be sure that my resume mentioned that I was a contract recruiter a bunch of times.
What's a bunch of times? 5 times? 10 times?
5 to 7 is good.
Really?
And
they
need to be spread out throughout your resume.
So the position, let me ask you this, the position of the keywords in your resume, does that make a difference? Does the search engine look in certain spots?
The search engine looks at the entire resume.
Yeah.
However, what a lot of people will do is they'll, at the bottom of the resume usually, sometimes at the top, they'll say keywords.
Yeah.
And then just list a lot of stinking words that they think apply to them.
Yeah.
For those words are in there once, and so they make almost no difference. And secondly, well, like when you're doing Monster, as an example,
mm-hmm,
when you're on Monster, you get the best results when you enter your information in their little forms.
Yeah.
And so you build a resume rather than cut and paste.
Okay.
Well, when you build a resume, there's no spot for your keywords, and they're gone anyway. I don't know about what you do there, Animal, but when I get a resume and it's got keywords all over it, I immediately cut them out before I save it to my database.
You know, I don't get many of those, but I cut out the objective and those other flabby little parts as well.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. So they don't do you any good because when the humans are reading it, they're not looking at the keywords.
Yeah.
When the computers are reading it, they're not in there enough to matter. So doing it that way is just a waste of your time.
Okay.
So spread out throughout the resume is important. And you should put it in there, like I say, 5 to 7 times for your most important ones. That's a good measure.
Well, some job titles have different variations. You might have a job title at your current job or your last job that is kind of unique or peculiar to the company you're with. So I'm assuming that some more generic terms have to be included in the resume?
Well, different terms. See, that's the trick, is figuring out what terms people are using to find you.
Give me some examples of the people you're working with and you know, what you've advised them to do.
Okay. So we've got a guy who's a systems engineer. Now, the first problem is that means about 18 different things at 18 different companies. So there are some recruiters that are looking for systems engineer.
Yep.
But frankly, not many. So what we did was we looked at really what his job was. And his job was, first of all, server farm maintenance. He had a...
What kind of maintenance?
Server farm.
Server farm. Sorry, I never heard that term before. It's not my field.
All right. Well, if you've got a group of servers that are working together
yep.
to serve up, you know, applications...
I get it. Data. I get it. Yeah, I just wasn't familiar with the term.
All right. Well, there you go. He does server farm maintenance. And that's a big part of his job. He does patch maintenance. So every time that Microsoft, every 3 seconds when Microsoft comes out with a new patch for a new OS, he has to test that on a system that isn't on the network before blowing up the entire network.
Yeah.
He does that sort of work. He makes sure that the internet connection into the server farm is active, not dropping packets, all that fun stuff. So,
yeah. Okay.
He's actually got several different jobs in one. So what I had him do is split out the most important things that he does, being the server farm maintenance, being patch maintenance, and patch, as an aside for anybody who is a system engineer, patch maintenance is huge right now because it's still not automated on the commercial
patch,
side.
Patch maintenance, P-A-T-C-H
yes.
maintenance?
Yes.
Okay.
So you know how when, in Windows XP...
Yeah.
You're running Windows XP because you're a Windows guy, not a loser Mac guy, right?
I'm not a loser Mac guy, no.
Good, good. So you're running Windows XP, and it pops up about every time you boot up, and it says, there are updates for your computer.
Right.
Okay. Those are patches. And you can actually set it up on your home computer to automatically download and apply all the patches.
Uh-huh.
But in a commercial server farm...
Yeah, okay, yeah. So we don't have to go into this detail. I'm getting complaints. They said, get on. They understand the guy's doing some kind of technical job, and he needs, you know, you have to really cut up what he does into every different aspect of it because each one could recommend him for a different position in the future. Is that true, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, and so, for
here's
instance,
the reason I'm going into detail.
The guy, well, let me just sum up here. The guy's position, his formal title is systems engineer, but there's going to be other jobs for patch engineer or something like our patch administrator, and you want to make sure that's in his resume, right?
That's basically correct.
Yeah, but when you come up with, let's say, 5 different titles for the guy, are you going to repeat all of them 5 times or 7 times, you're going to have a resume that's, you know, full of a million different keywords for titles.
Well, see, here's the thing. You already have a million keywords in your resume. Just chances are they're really crappy.
Yeah?
Every word you put in your resume is a keyword.
Uh-huh.
Just they're not optimized for
doing
that.
Okay, but let me ask you that. If the guy's title is systems engineer and he's got 3 different functions and you want to turn each function into a potential job title, do you have to repeat every one of those job titles many times? Is that it? Like patch administrator, would you have to put that into his resume more than once in the job description?
Yes.
Okay. How do you do that?
Well, here's how I'm glad you asked. Here's how you do that. Basically, the thing that these guys, with IT especially, the longest tenure is, you know, generally 5-6 years.
Yep.
So they've had several jobs.
Uh-huh.
So if they did patch management in three different jobs, that's at least three spots that can mention it.
So obvious, I didn't think of it. Okay. Assuming that they do the same thing at many jobs, or at least that they have the opportunity to do the same thing at many jobs. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so just if anybody's interested at this point but can't listen to the rest of the show and they want to buy your book, where should they go? How do they buy your book? Let's talk about it right now.
If you go to my site, which is fracat.com, that's
spell that.
F-R-A-C-A-T.
Fracat.com.
Right.
Yeah.
Stands for Free Resume and Career Toolbox.
Uh-huh. That was intuitively obvious. I should have known.
It was just a quick thing I came up with several
okay.
years ago.
Okay.
If you go there, the main page, there's a link for the book right there, right on the front page.
Yeah.
It'll take you to the Buy Me page right there. Quick and easy. It's done electronically. You'll have it within a few minutes.
Now let me ask. I've got three people I know quite well. They're all very bright, experienced people. They're on the line listening on the couch. Anybody have any comments for Dan Sweet, the resume guy? We'll give them 5 seconds to speak up. No, no one's volunteered so far. What's the next topic, Dan? We established you have to have many keywords, and you can distribute them throughout the different jobs that the person has had, right?
Exactly.
So what's the next thing we should talk about on this?
Well, the next thing is you have to make sure to put the different names for the same thing you do. So, for instance, you were talking about job titles. That's a good – I'm glad you brought that up.
Good.
My good friend, and I don't know if he's been on here yet, so I don't know if he's your good friend or not, Jason Alba over at Jibber Jobber.
Yes, he has been.
Well, then he's probably not your good friend anymore. But anyway,
okay.
What he did is he was working as a bigwig in a small company.
Yeah.
And that was one of his major problems with his resume.
Uh-huh.
He went ahead and put, it was like VP of development or something like that.
Right.
And he was using that title to apply to large companies.
Right.
But he wasn't applying for VP development jobs, and so the poor little HR people got confused in their very small
walnut
brain. You know
what? I know exactly what you're talking about, yes.
And so the reality is you make your job title what you want it to be. Or more realistically, you make your job title what other companies are calling it.
Yeah.
So I know of a company in Houston, which I will not mention my name,
okay.
that intentionally creates job titles that will keep their employees from getting other jobs.
Oh, isn't that interesting? Wow, sabotage. They
exactly.
sabotage the search engines. Is that right?
What they do is they give them crappy titles that don't describe really what they do,
okay.
and they sound more junior than they are.
Uh-huh.
So when any HR person reads them, they go, man, we don't need this.
That's great, yeah. Very smart.
So what you can do is, you know, it's a resume. It's your document. It does not have to have the exact job title that's on your offer letter.
Yep.
It can have the job title that is relevant to what you do that other people call it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So if your company calls you a server monkey,
yep.
that's not going to help you much.
No.
So you can change that to whatever you need it to be on your resume as long as it actually...
Yeah, I like that title, server monkey. I like it, but... I can see where you might run into some problems.
Exactly, exactly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you can change. See, the whole thing is your resume is your resume.
Yeah, you know what?
But whatever.
I'm going to interrupt you here. Let's get some examples. You must have tested this on some people. I'm not saying you did big scientific trials, but
right.
have you done some test runs you could tell us about?
Sure, sure. Two, one on myself, one on a couple other people that were getting
okay,
paid
you
for.
Told us about yourself. You can tell us again if you like.
Well, I didn't tell you what came out of that.
Okay, go ahead. You're a contract recruiter, and not many people actually place ads in Houston for contract recruiters, right?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Go ahead.
So I went ahead and I optimized my resume using the techniques in my book, and I put my resume up on Monster just as a test to see if it would get any traction.
Yep.
And you know, since I've done that, I've gotten at least, I went back, and after we talked the first time, I went back, and it was like, at least 2 to 3 calls a week now that I'm getting for recruiters.
For jobs that are not advertised.
Exactly.
That's amazing. I got to tell you, does anybody else, I know you guys are there, does anyone else find that surprising? If he puts the right words on his resume in a job in a resume database on a big job board, he starts getting calls on jobs that are not advertised on that job board. I find that kind of interesting. Nobody else does. Okay. Continue. Sorry, go ahead. Or they're just shy. They're just shy. Go ahead.
Just to amplify,
yep.
My resume had actually been up there for, years. I just had stuck it up there.
Okay.
So it's not like it wasn't there to be found. It's the changes that did that.
So there was a huge change immediately when you made your upgrade. Is that right?
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Within days, I got my first call.
Man, and what did the people say to you? Did they say, I saw your resume, so you knew it was the first time they'd actually found it?
Yeah, they said,
What were the exact changes you made? Let's get to that.
Well, here's what I did. Like I said, the contract recruiter piece was a big deal.
The what? Contract recruiter, okay.
Yeah, I put that in there several times. Mm-hmm. I made sure people knew. Now, here's something most people don't even think about.
Yep.
But I made sure Houston, Texas.
Yes.
Was in there a bunch of times.
Really?
Houston, TX, Houston, Texas.
Yeah.
Made sure it was spelled out and in there several times.
You know, I never would have thought of it.
Because a lot of people do their searches for, okay, I need a recruiter in Houston. They start the basics.
Yep.
Well, if that's all they put, I'm going to be near, if not at the top of the results.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So that helps me in itself.
Mm-hmm.
The other things I did was I figured out, now, you know what being a recruiter is. You know what you do. You know, you find people, you match them to positions. Actually, you get positions from your clients. You match people to them. You know, it's not rocket science in itself.
You know what? I got a message here from a well-known personality, and he wants to know how recruiters can make use of this information when they do searches for candidates on databases. I mean, it seems that I would guess from what you've told us so far that in order to find people who are buried in these databases, we have to do way more exhaustive searches using all these different variations. We might not even think of SurveyMonkey, but some of these other things might come up. Is that right?
That's like, exactly how right.
Do you ever
reverse engineer.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Just like the job seekers are having a tough time figuring out what the recruiters here are thinking when
yep.
they're looking for them,
uh-huh.
it's the same thing. Recruiters have a tough time figuring out what these job seekers are putting on the resume uh-huh. that relates to what they're looking for.
Okay, so let's go
now,
back. Oh, sorry, you go ahead, finish.
Well, there's two things. One is reverse engineering it
yeah.
so that you go back and you figure out what the techs are putting on the resume
mm-hmm.
that you're not finding.
Yep.
So Active Directory, okay, well, they're not putting that on there. What are they putting? Well, some of them are putting just AD. Well, I wouldn't search on AD because I figured I'd come up with everything.
Okay, so there's an issue there with abbreviations right away, huh? How do you tell people to handle the abbreviations?
The job seekers, I tell them to put it in both ways. Make
okay.
sure that you have multiple instances of the whole spelled out thing and the abbreviation.
So just like Texas, you put in TX and Texas.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's exactly right. Now, what recruiters can do with this same technique is one of two things. They can either do it themselves, but, I know better, or they could have their candidates redo their resumes using these techniques so that in a standard split environment, I don't know how most of you, I know Amy Best is a sourcer and researcher, so, it's different for her,
mm-hmm.
but for a standard recruiting environment where you've got splits involved,
yeah.
if your candidates have the most findable resumes,
yep.
you get paid more.
Okay, so you mean if you're sharing a database with another recruiter and you want
right,
that,
or your
that person...
company.
Okay, oh, within your own... I didn't even think of it. Of course, if there's a team of 10 or 30 people in-house and you want the other recruiters to use your candidates, you want them to be findable on the in-house database.
Exactly.
Okay, very interesting. Never would have thought of that.
So this can actually make money for recruiters by making their candidates the ones that are found when everybody's digging in there looking for people for whatever job they have that comes up.
Uh-huh, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, did you do anything else to your resume besides stress, like certain keywords like Houston and contract recruiter? Were there any other changes that you made to your own?
Well, yeah, what I did is I talked to a bunch of HR people.
Yep.
And I said, okay, you're looking for a contract recruiter. Tell me what it is that you're searching for. Tell me how you're finding these people. And I found out what, you know, honestly to me, were some of the most ridiculous things known to mankind that they were looking for.
Yeah.
But it's what was in the spec. So they were looking for full life cycle. Well, are there recruiters that don't do full life cycle? Not that I know of.
Those sourcers, you know, maybe they want to divide it between those two.
Well, they didn't know that.
Okay.
This is just what they're handed, so they put it in.
Okay.
And I separate sourcers and recruiters out. I mean, I do both, but, you know, I understand the difference.
Mm-hmm.
These people are looking for actual recruiters.
Yep.
And they'll put in full life cycle, recruiter, Houston.
Yes.
That's the most ridiculous thing known to mankind.
Okay.
But I put it in my resume because that's what they're looking for.
So if you know how all the career counselors are telling these candidates to call up people at the companies they might like to work at or people in the industry and ask them about the jobs, what they'd be better off doing sometimes is calling HR and finding out what search terms they're using. Or really, they can just take those from the spec, from the job description. Is that right?
Sometimes they can. They don't always relate. But yeah.
Give me an example. What do you mean by that? You mean you can't take a look at the job description and figure out what the search terms are going to be?
No, because the way a job is created in a major company, there are like six different people with input.
Yeah.
And they all add their own paragraph or two.
Uh-huh.
And so what the HR person is searching for may be completely different than what's in there.
Okay, so the job description is done by a committee, but the search is actually only done by one person. Is that right?
Right.
Is that what you're
exactly.
saying?
Exactly. The first search is done by the lowest level on the totem pole HR person.
Uh-huh.
That they tell them, oh, go up to the officer and find resumes.
Now, you know, I think I told you this before. We spoke the other day. Jeremy Langens told us 2 weeks ago that he thinks as an internet sourcer, an internet researcher, someone who's going out to find resumes online, and also in these databases, he uses them. He said one of his strengths is the ability to take a look at a resume and assess it properly to tell if this is an appropriate candidate. What you're saying is another issue, that these young guys or junior people who are given the task of searching the databases might not be able to easily identify you as the correct or suitable candidate unless you smack them over the face with it. Is that right?
I wouldn't put all the hemming and hawing in there, though. I'd say they absolutely have no clue what you do, and all they have is a piece of paper to tell.
Yeah? Okay, so if you don't use the right buzzwords, you're finished with them. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. You will never be found.
Okay. Okay. So, I don't know, it seems to me that you're in big trouble unless you can actually talk to that person and find out what search terms they're using.
Well, here's the benefit you have. The benefit you have is I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've talked to lots of HR people.
Uh-huh.
And what I've included in my book are a ton of the different areas that they search for. Here are the types of keywords, these are keyword categories, really, that they're commonly searching on. These
yep.
are the things they use.
Uh-huh.
And I've got a bunch of pages in the book listed on all those things they use. Geography is one of them, to give you an example.
Yep.
Geography is used all the time, but
uh-huh.
nobody ever puts it in their resume.
What do you mean? Like the Houston, Texas?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple, and they use it, but it doesn't show up in the resume.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't put it in your resume and the next guy over does,
yeah.
he's going to appear higher up in the results because they're more relevant because he has Houston, Texas all over it and you didn't.
Okay.
And he's going to show up higher up in the results and will be looked at, and you are going to be somewhere down the basement and won't be.
Let me see if anybody wants to ask you a question or challenge you. I'm just going to take 10 seconds of silence, see if anybody wants to ask you something or say something that I haven't said. No, I'm going to assume that's 5 seconds of silence is enough. Okay, what should we talk about? What should we talk about next?
What should we talk about next?
Yeah.
We should talk about...
Yes, hold on, Maureen, the queen bee of telephone.
Hey, Maureen.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great, Maureen.
You know,
thanks.
Maureen's going to Texas in a couple of weeks to... Where are you going?
I am. I'm going to
Austin.
Austin, Texas. She's going to teach a telephone sourcing course at Dell.
Dell, yeah.
You know the answers. Go ahead.
Okay, and if you want to find out about it, go to recruitingbloggers.com. There's a nice little video, and all the information is there. Recruitingbloggers.com or TechTrack, you don't have it on the front of your own site.
No, I don't think it's over on TechTrack.
No, it isn't. But anyway, go ahead. Did you want to challenge Dan?
I don't want to challenge him. I just want to thank him for being here. And I'm wondering if our audience, if we have an audience, Michael, do
you got a few other people there on the couch with you. It's dark, I know.
Okay, okay. No, it's been very interesting. Thank you, Dan.
Well, isn't she sweet, you know? I want someone to beat this guy up. Don't thank him. Harry, do you have anything to say to him?
No, I don't. I mean, every single thing that he said so far is like right on. You know, he's talking about keyword density and keyword relevance and in so many words, and it's all great input.
Okay.
I mean, I can't poke any holes in it.
Okay.
Is that what you want me to do?
Yeah.
Just wail on this poor
yes,
guy, Dan?
Yes, I've given him an
nothing
easy ride.
It's like, you know... You just
he's from Texas. He can
dog fighting or something. What are you, Michael Vick? You know,
no.
You just want to see us tear each other up. I'm
no,
not
maybe
gonna
I
do
should
it.
Advertise myself as the Michael Vick of recruiting radio. That's pretty good.
The recruiting animal.
Yes, I am. The
there you go.
Animal. There you go. Good name. Okay, thank you, Harry. So, Dan, I'm giving you the lead again since we don't have anywhere we want to take you. What's the next topic we should talk about? A big thing in the book.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I don't engender people hating me. I'll try and learn more. I'll listen to your show more often. Try and learn
it's
that.
It's nice to be hated. Let me tell you.
You
know, Gen Y hates me. Gen Y hates me. I always got that.
Yes. Hey, are we going to have her on, Michael?
Pardon me?
Are we going to have her on?
Maybe we'll see.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to make anybody cry.
Do you think
but,
maybe we get at some point?
We got to get back to Dan. Come on, Dan. What's the next topic on this job database searching for resume search engine optimization? Sorry.
Good job.
Okay. Come on. What's next?
Social networking.
Okay.
Social networking is huge, both for recruiters and for candidates. Once you have
I said both
for recruiters and for candidates.
Oh, okay, okay.
Once you have your optimized resume as a candidate,
yep.
You should work that in. Like for instance, LinkedIn's big. I am the top connected person in Houston for anybody that cares about that sort of thing on LinkedIn.
We all care about that.
I knew you would. On your LinkedIn profile,
yeah,
it's the same thing. You need to optimize that profile so that people can find you for what you do. They've turned on and off the whole the settings that show you how many people have seen your profile.
Uh huh.
But my numbers were minuscule. I mean, for the number of connections I have.
Yep.
I mean, I currently have a network of like 5.9 million people, but For that number, I was getting, 600-700 views a month for people looking for somebody like me.
Yep.
I did the same techniques for my profile on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And last time I checked, it was like 3,600 views for the last month.
Really?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, that's incredible. I didn't expect this. Go ahead. You can talk more then.
Same thing. You've got to do this, and it's because all, again, once it hit me one place, it hit me everywhere.
Uh-huh.
All LinkedIn is a search engine on those stinking profiles.
Uh-huh.
So you've got a character limit, but you've got to make your profile so that people will find you for what you do. So it's the same thing. You've got to figure out what people are searching for. You got to put that into your profile several times. And once you do, people will start finding you for what you do.
Now, let me ask you something. Okay,
yeah.
Hold on a second. Now, J.D. Jason Davis is on the couch here. He's here. Now, he owns recruitingblogs.com, which is a social network for recruiters on the Ning platform, and you're there. So how did you optimize your site, or is that relevant, that kind of social networking? Is that relevant to this search engine gambit or strategy?
It can be. Now, my impression, and he can prove me wrong and, feel free to give a spiel here, but my impression is that the recruiting blogs isn't a place where people are going to find me who are looking for contract recruiters.
Correct.
That's my impression.
Why not?
Hey, guys.
It's a bunch of recruiters there.
Hey, guys.
Right? Isn't that where you'd sort of go looking for a recruiter? It might be a good place to recruit a recruiter, don't you think?
Well, I think it'd be a great place for a recruiter who recruits recruiters.
Yeah, but that presumes that it's a good place to be found as well, right? JD?
Michael?
Get with it.
I just logged on.
Okay. So, Dan, let's say, but if you're on that Ning site, can you optimize that page so
it
could be found on Google or something like that?
Yes.
Absolutely. Anything, and that's the great thing about social networking.
Yeah.
Is the more places that you have this profile of yours,
yep.
whatever it may be,
yep.
the more times it's going to be indexed by Google and everywhere else.
Uh-huh.
Which means the greater chance you have of being found in a general search as well by somebody going into Google and typing, oh, I want a loudmouth Canadian recruiter. Where am I going to find one?
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, there's the recruiting animal. He's right there, found, because he's got profiles spread all over the internet that mention those same keywords.
You know what? Susie Tonini, she's an internet sourcer. She was on last week. She won the challenge number 2 for SourceCon, which was a very difficult quiz. She's got about at least 10 profiles online. I know Maureen has quite a few as well, but Susie has her own site. She's on Names. She's on Ziki. She's on probably Zig. She's on LinkedIn. About 10 different things. And so what you're saying is you should be on as many as you can and optimize them all the same way.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Okay, so recruiters and candidates, it's sort of all the same thing. In fact, if you're advertising, if you're doing business online as a recruiter, if you've got a blog even, you have to consider about making yourself friendly to any kind of search engine.
Absolutely. Findable for the types of things people are looking for when they want a recruiter. Yeah.
So I've got a blog. Everybody here has a blog. How do we optimize those blogs? Is there something in your point of view, or is yours really limited to resumes? Is that the best? Or should we? We have our resume on the blog somewhere. That's it, eh?
My blog is focused on job seeking and career improvement issues. Generally.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it is focused at job seekers. Now, here's the thing with blogs. You can get high ranking for certain keywords doing the same thing with a blog posting that you're doing with your LinkedIn or wherever profile. So, for example, I use Hittail to collect data on where people are finding my website.
I didn't catch that. Hittail?
Hittail.
Hittail.
.com. That's it. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's a free tool that you can put into your website, and it will tell you where people are coming from, what search words or phrases they're using to get there,
uh-huh.
and you can recreate the searches and the whole bit.
Uh-huh.
What it does is it focuses on the long tail, the small number of keywords that people are searching on intently where they find you, and once you know those keywords, then you can make a blog post that focuses on those keywords and draw in people by being the first in the search engine for those keywords,
uh-huh.
and capture a bunch of people for a ton of different keywords that way.
Okay, but the idea with keywords is that you grind them out over and over again. Is that it?
No, not really, as it turns out. Here's what I found. What I found is that if you use a keyword once, 700 days in a row on a blog, the search engines will actually not find you in the top 50 results for that search term, regardless of the fact that you're there 700 times. What the search engines appear to do is evaluate each blog posting individually and doesn't evaluate the cumulative effect of the whole site. So you've got to use a blog post that uses that keyword a bunch of times appropriately in order to rank highly for that search term.
So Maureen, let's say she's writing about a number of different things, but maybe once or twice a week. She's going to write about telephone sourcing. Those times that she writes about something that has to do with telephone sourcing, she should make sure to have that phrase in there, let's say three times.
I would put it in more like 5 to 7 again.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? Okay. Okay. Anything
I mean,
else?
And it's not hard to do. I mean, if, for instance, Maureen, who is the queen of all things telephone sourcing,
yeah.
If she were going to do it, she could do, you know, top 10 telephone sourcing tips.
Uh-huh.
And then for every tip, it would be telephone sourcing tip number one,
uh-huh.
Telephone sourcing tip number two.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's
well, it might make it less readable, I have to tell you.
Well, no, it's just bullet points.
Uh-huh, okay.
You put that in bold, and then you list the tip, and it's just people ignore the bullet points, but the search engines still see it as telephone sourcing.
Now, let me ask
so
you
now
something.
She's,
okay, go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, now she's got it listed, the top 10 tips has it listed at least 11 times, and so she's probably going to be the top 10, if not the top one site for telephone sourcing.
Okay. But you're a recruiter. You said your blog is oriented towards job hunters and career issues. Why is that? What value is that to you?
The value to me is that I've got 50,000 unique visitors, more or less, actually it's more now, a month coming to me that if I ever need somebody, now I've got a lot of people I can say, hey, I need somebody like this. Who do you know?
I don't get it. Does anybody else understand that?
I think he's saying it's a candidate attraction strategy.
Yeah, but, you know,
just high visibility, more candidates.
They visit
is that about right, Dan?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, but
I've got a...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I've got a ton of people coming to me because they're interested in improving their career or looking for a job.
Yep.
Those are the most motivated...
The people who come to you, they don't say hi or anything like that, do they?
Who cares?
Oh,
well, some of them do.
Oh, yeah, Chris Russell, you're on. He's sending me an email. Put me on. He's on.
Hey, can you hear me?
Chris.
We can hear you.
All right, good.
Chris Russell, the recruiting fly.
The recruiting fly guy.
Sorry, do you want to talk to Dan?
Yeah, I just want to say a couple of things. Dan, great stuff. This is you know, great for job seekers. I want to mention a couple of things. First, on Ning.
Shout a bit, Chris.
On Ning, I just started jobboarders.com, which is on Ning as well.
Jobboarders.com.
Right, for job board professionals.
I'm a member.
Very good. And I've noticed that search engine traffic coming in already is coming in on people's names. So we have 150 members already.
Sorry, I didn't understand that. Tell me again.
Okay, people are already finding our members via keyword search engines already.
Oh, the regulars like Google.
Exactly. So, you know, 30% of all searches on the Internet are people searches, they say. And
right.
Ning is a great place to you know, to do that. You can go on and change your Ning profile page. You can change it to add keywords in there in terms of the name of the page, and you can add all kinds of keywords in there as well. But even just a very simple registering and creating your own profile will get you found, and I'm finding it already because I'm seeing
interesting information. So if Dan wants to use his Ning site to be found as a contract recruiter, it's useful.
Yeah, and go on, you know, recruitingblogs.com and put in your keywords there on your little profile page. You can title it however you want. I'm not sure how long you can make it, but you can go in there and...
You can make it 10 miles long, Chris.
Exactly. And then a couple other things. On for job hunters, if you want to find out, you know, places to get alternative keywords that you might want to use in your resume, go and use Google Keywords Suggestion Tool, and you can...
How do they find that? Google keyword suggestion tool.
Yeah, just type that in Google, and you'll come up with it. And,
okay,
you know,
so just put in those words, Google keyword
suggestion. Yeah, take your current job title, put it in there, and you'll see all the alternatives that people search on, and then use those in your resume.
Dan, are you familiar with that already?
I am. I wasn't using it that way. That's a great idea.
Yeah, it's a great way to go find out what people are searching for. Rather than just asking somebody, you can go and see exactly what they're typing in. So,
did you have anything else you wanted
to
share?
Your advice about the changing your job title is also great. I did that long ago when I was searching for a job. My title was research associate, which means absolutely nothing. And so I changed it. It was basically working on databases. So I changed it to database support analyst.
Database what? Sorry, you got to shout a bit.
I changed it from research associate to database support analyst.
Database support analyst.
Right,
okay.
And I applied to a database type job listing, and I got an interview right away.
And where did you come up with that term, database support analyst?
I basically looked at my job and said, okay, what do I do really? You know, how do I describe my job? I was working on a database supporting it.
But was that a standard term? That was generally used?
You know, I didn't even look. I just okay, what do I do? What is my job really? And I just basically translated it according to what I think I did.
Okay.
And that's what I did, and I got an interview right away. So.
Anything else?
No, that's it, Sam.
Sam? I'm the recruiting animal. But anyway, Dan. Oh, you said Dan. It's Dan, not Sam. But let's move on. Thank you, C.M. Russell. Do you want to give out your URL again? Jobborders.com with two B's, right? JOBborders.com.
You got it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, Ken.
Dan, you know, we're going to be running out of time soon. Is there anything else that you would like to talk about in the next 9 minutes?
May I ask a question?
Yes, you may.
Okay. I'm going to probably lose some of the people here, but it's important to me, right? I'm looking at your LinkedIn bio, and you show yourself as a member of the Kennedy Glazer Inner Circle.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
What is the
like
Kennedy?
That?
What is the Kennedy Glazer Inner Circle? Please.
Dan Kennedy.
Oh.
Is the Lex Luthor of direct mail marketing and copywriting. He's unbelievable. He's an information marketer. Information marketing is like selling information, basically. So it's how to bowl a perfect game, how to catch a 100-pound bass, how to be a better lover, how to pick up women, that kind of stuff. That's called information marketing.
Okay.
And I got hooked on Dan Kennedy about 3-4 years ago, and I ordered a bunch of his stuff off of eBay, and it's unbelievable stuff. It's probably the best direct-to-consumer marketing stuff I've ever heard in my life, and I've got hundreds of hours of it. His, like, you know, pinnacle offering, if you will, is something called the Kennedy Glazer Inner Circle. And I thought about joining it. It's supposedly worth it, but it's supposedly expensive. So here you are a member. What do you think?
For anybody who is ready to get serious about promoting themselves, promoting their business, it's absolutely worth it. And there are different levels, so it doesn't have to be terribly expensive either. It is one of those things that it offers all sorts of advice that you would never thought of.
Oh, yeah.
By the people who have all the data. I mean, these are the guys who have been in direct marketing for, you know, 50 years, and they know the tricks, and they know how
they're
to put things together. Yeah,
and
it's amazing.
They're geniuses. They're unbelievable. So do you use direct mail techniques to market yourself, or are you strictly an online guy?
Well, I'm strictly online, but I use some of the techniques and some of the things I do. Certainly I use some of it in the blog postings I do. I use some of it on, you know, the ordering pages for the book. I use some of it in the next version of my website, which is, you know, any day now. I absolutely use it as part of everything I do that's written, where I'm trying to convince people to do something.
Harry?
Yeah, no, I'm listening. I'm taking notes.
Just so everyone knows, if they're listening 5 months from now, that's Harry Joyner, the marketingheadhunter.com, marketingheadhunter.com. So, Dan, I don't know if you know Harry. He's a very bright guy. And regular
fact, no, I need
listener.
To get to know him.
Okay.
Well,
and the fact that he knows Dan Kennedy is a
now Dan Kennedy is amazing. I'll tell you, and some of the influences, you know, if you like, I bought his Info Riches 2000 seminar that was, you know, taped at Caesar's Palace several years ago, and I bought it on sale on, you know, on eBay. Like, there's a secondary market for Kennedy stuff.
And this guy's name is again his first last name's Kennedy. His first name is what?
Dan.
Dan. Another Dan. Dan.
Yeah, he's amazing.
He's at DanKennedy.com.
And all of his influences, you know, Gerardo Joffe and Jay Abraham and Gary Halbert and Ted Nicholas and people that you never would have heard of. But he's like, okay, you know, buy these books. And some of them are out of print, but you can probably find them on eBay and stuff. And you go, and it's amazing how relevant that stuff is these days.
So
let's
before we run out of time, let's see, this guy has obviously been praised. What's relevant there? Give us an example. Dan, let me ask you this, if it's a fair question. Is there anything you've learned from this Kennedy Glazer League or whatever it is that you have put into practice, these secrets that you've given to people in your book to deal to use on their resumes?
It's none of, well, Here's what I got from them that I use in the book, and that is simply the dual reading path. And what you have there is basically you've got detailed people and you've got people who need to get the message quickly and get out of there.
Yep.
So the way I use a dual reading path, and I do this on the blog too, is I put a lot of headings in that describe what I'm talking about. So you can just go through and read the headings.
Yep.
And know the basic idea of what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And if you want more detail on any one area, you can just dive into that one area. So now you've got all the detail in there that people want to see, or very detailed area people will need, and you've got the headings that give the general idea. So no matter who your audience is, they have, even if it's, you know, 6,000 pages long, whatever you're writing, it has a path for them so that they get something out of it.
Okay, it's scannable, in other words, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's scannable. You can find what you need if you're a quick, give-me-the-facts guy. And if you're a, you know, anal engineer, you can read every last word of it to understand it completely.
Yeah, and it makes the copy look less intimidating, too. It makes it look like a bunch of shorter posts instead of one big, long tome.
Oh, you're talking about from a blog point of view.
Well, it could be anything that you write.
Harry, anything other ideas that you've gleaned from this Dan Kennedy that you think might be relevant to...
Oh, hell yes, absolutely. I mean,
what about
for example, this whole concept of keyword loading a resume, I mean, that is all just increasing one's message to market match, you know, which is a Dan Kennedy concept of, you know, in the old days, for example, you could sell a ton of aspirin with a headline like "Attention Headache Sufferers." But now the average consumer is hit with 5,000 commercial messages a day. You've got to sell your aspirin by saying "Attention Young Boston Mothers with Migraines." And in saying that, you'd exclude 98% of the market, and you hyper-qualify, that's a Dan Kennedy word, you hyper-qualify the other 2%. But the good news is you can charge a higher price because you're offering a specialized product or service.
This is a bit like what Dan Sweet, does with Houston, Texas.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
So, I mean, he's not trying to be found by everybody. He's just identified exactly who his target customer is, which is a Dan Kennedy thing. I mean, Dan Kennedy says you need to be as specific as possible.
Let me interrupt you. We've only got 3 minutes left. I want Dan to have the last word. Very interesting. I appreciate you bringing that
Thank you
in.
For your answer, by the way, Dan.
Dan,
absolutely.
Any comment, rejoinder to Harry, or any words of wisdom for either recruiters or job hunters that you'd like to share in the remaining moments of the show?
Absolutely. First of all, anybody who is interested in marketing, and that should be every single one of you, absolutely ought to start getting involved, getting some of Dan Kennedy's stuff, because you ought to be marketing. That's the biggest responsibility you have in your business, no matter what you do.
Disregard that. Strike that last comment. I don't want anybody in the recruiting business to know anything about Dan Kennedy.
Okay.
Dan Kennedy sucks. Disregard it. Don't buy any of Dan Kennedy's stuff. He's a complete bozo. It's a waste of time.
Okay.
And the other thing is, if you want to be in the top of the recruiting game here, you've got to do things that other people aren't doing. And this is, for instance, the stuff that's in my book, and just the whole concept of resume search optimization, is something that you can do that's above and beyond that will make you, I mean, to use Dan Kennedy's headlines, that will make you money while you sleep. People will be finding your candidates in your database while you're not doing anything.
Okay, that's if you're in a shared database. I understand.
Right.
Okay. Now, let's get, to find your book, it's at Fracat. FRACAT.com, and how much is it?
$20.
$20.
$19.94, which is the year that Monster started.
Okay, so there was some other stuff we were going to talk about Monster. Maybe you'll come back another time. But it's $20, and is it an e-book or is it a hard copy book? It's an e-book.
E-book, you get it instantly.
Okay. Anything else technical like that we should know?
Wow. In the last minute, I think, you know, if the book is very information dense. If you're interested in the topic, you get the book and it won't bore you with stories or the rest of it. It's very dense.
Okay, no, I meant about how to download it. It's all obvious there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great. I got to thank you. It was way, I'm going to be frank with you. It was way better and more interesting than I thought it would be. I didn't know
Thanks.
How to relate to recruiters. So,
yeah, you thought you were going to be awful. But thankfully, you weren't awful.
He's making it up. That's it. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Dan and Harry and Maureen and J.D. Jason Davis and C.M. Russell. See you next week.
Bye,
everybody.
Bye.